Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Haruna.
Happy Monday, Ermelaine. How was your week, weekend?
Weekend was great. Only sleeping. Only sleeping.
That must be
Resting.
nice.
Yeah, you can use some.
I can definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
So just a relaxing weekend.
Yeah,
Nothing
with my
special.
kid, nothing special. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk about, Haruna?
Let's talk about sex.
Yeah, that's our favorite, isn't it?
Hey, yes, it is. I actually like talking about the topic a
Yeah.
lot. So much of who we are and who we think we are is stuck in our sexual beliefs. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I'm not sure if I have a great response to that. I think it's true. Yeah. But maybe you can go first.
Well, let's imagine for a moment, though, for a second, that we get our sexual beliefs from society, from religion, from culture, cultural values, constructs that society says this is what a man is, this is what a woman is, this is what, the belief is around those specific gender roles. And then you're told this is what you have to do as a sexual being. Hold for a second that we're only looking at two genders. We're not looking at trans. We're not looking at people in the LGBTQ communities. We're only talking about what society says or dictates as a man or a woman or a good partner or spouse. And the role typically has been that the woman, quote unquote, has to please the man. So in society or in culture throughout history, how has the woman been controlled?
Is that a question?
Yes, it's a question.
I'm not like an historian or, like an expert on that, but what I've seen in my recent research, and that was only my research regarding myself and my own sexuality. So that's what I've been diving into. Is that there's a lot of suppression. There's a lot of in my own psyche. I'm only talking about myself here. There's a lot of where I don't know how to fill in sexuality, what my sexuality is. I know how maybe how to please, and even that I find very difficult because I'm not sure what's needed. I don't know what men want, basically, for real, what they really want. So that would be my question be, what do men really want?
That is a question.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a good question or a not good question. Because I think that it's kind of a trap. As ultimately, if you're thinking of men in general, most men want to please their partner. Most men, if they're following the construct or the belief about what a man is, then they're supposed to have as much sex as possible, have as many children as possible, be able to take care of the house, meaning provide. So if we're talking about like from an evolutionary standpoint, evolutionary psychology says that the woman or the female of the species is attracted to broad shoulders, muscles, because they believe, using the reptilian brain, that that person is a good provider. Whereas the male species looks for wide hips, because wide hips tell us that that person is going to be able to give us babies, so that our name is carried out throughout time.
Wow.
I didn't create it. So anybody who's pissed, it's not from me. But that's the belief.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm wondering, what do you feel about what I just said?
No, I was filling it in on a different way. I think a lot of women are looking for safety and stability. So we are looking for men with first maybe a very strong base chakra, which is, well, yourself and your body connected to the earth and making money, providing a house, bringing stability and safety for the family.
So you agree with the evolutionary psychology?
Yeah, I do, but I agree. I think that's what we do, but there's a reason for that. And that's that women are often not very strong in their base chakra because of all the abuse that happened there and all the trauma. So I think we are trying to compensate our lack of energy there with the male energy, or the male who could bring this stability where we lack it. So that would be my theory.
Okay. All right. So let's test that for a moment. All right. So the theory is that the woman or the female of the species is going to appear to be weak in order for the male species, the male of the species, to come forward to be the protector and the provider, to create safety.
No, we're not going to appear weak. It's that during the last few centuries, women have been, you know, suppressed and raped and bereft of the power in their womb. So, so there's a lack of energy there and a lack of strength. So we need this strength to be compensated, and we are looking for it to men, but we shouldn't. We should go and reconnect to our own wombs and power and, you know, the energy there, and overcome this trauma of abuse and, you know, suppression of patriarchy. So that's it.
That was nice. I love how you put that in there. That was really nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, that would be my theory, and I'm not sure if that's true, but I think in general, this is what women are looking for, and it's not fair, of course. It's not fair, and it's not from a healthy or grown, you know, point of view that we do it. But yeah, we need this energy of safety and stability.
So what's the first thing that you notice then? So if you're talking about centuries of this belief or this programming, and how would you know if a man is a good provider, is strong, is creates safety? What's the first thing that a person would use to know that?
Well, at the moment, you know, I think it's first we start, of course, with looking for a rich man. We want him to have money. So he will provide the safety. But that's maybe the first, you know, the first step. As soon as you go into your transformational process, it's not necessarily what you, that you see money as being safe. You know, there's a lot of other things that can be safe. And for me at the moment, it's feeling the energy of someone being in his base chakra or his, you know, his lower chakras, being there, being connected to his own body and sexuality. That's safe for me.
So a man who is able to be comfortable in his own body, with his own emotions, would you say?
I'm not really sure if, you know, I'm really comfortable with my own emotions also. So I'm not really sure if that's what I'm looking for in a man. There's something in my own system where I'm still a little bit ungrounded or not. And maybe also because of my feminine, you know, structure. I really think it has to do with a certain feeling. Yeah, maybe a certain feeling in his energy field, which is at the same time very strong and at the same time very soft. But you know, that's me.
Very strong, very soft. Okay, so the strong, the strength comes from what? A big chest, broad shoulders, big broad chin, you know, all this stereotypical shit.
No, I don't think I necessarily fall for that type.
Well, it's funny.
No, I don't think so, because that's more, it's on the outside, and when it's very rigid on the outside, people are not really connected also often to their hearts and their, you know, the soft side of who they are. But that's also a stereotype, you know, I cannot really.
Right. And that's what that's my point, is that all of this is based on what certain beliefs of this is what it looks like.
Yeah.
At one time, the monarchy said that it was great to be overweight. I'm going to use their term. It's fat. Okay, because that showed that you could afford to eat meat. Okay, and anyone who was thin was obviously poor. And fast forward it a few hundred years and it's kind of reverse. Thin is in. Wow. I have so much to say about that. I'm so bothered by it. All of these beliefs and stereotypes that...
Yeah, so shoot. Don't bother my story. Just go straight to yours.
I think your story is great. I just think that the first thing that happens, though, is that a man or a woman isn't really seen for who they are. So it's a physical thing more than anything. And that's what I was asking, is it a physical thing first? And if it's a physical thing, what does it look like? What's the structure? What's the belief around the physical type?
For me, it's purely energy, you know? So of course I would like someone to be, you know, like what I like is when people are taking good care of themselves so that you can see that they are healthy. Mm-hmm. And that's all. They don't have to be, you know, super thin, but they should be super happy with themselves and be comfortable in their skins and, you know, do what they need to do to be happy people.
Guy sees you on the street and he's using this type of voice.
I really like that. Yes, I like the voice.
Right. So there's a lot that goes into it.
But still, I, you know, for me, most important thing is that it's authentic. I mean, if you use that, it's, you know, you're just trying to seduce me. It's like so fake. No, for me, it's all about energy. And if your energy matches with who you are on the outside, mm-hmm. and that I can really feel you, yeah, that's it. And that your energy makes me feel safe and that I can feel your heart and preferably also your soul and your depth. Yeah, that's what I fall for. But, you know, everybody's different. And there's also this, do you fall for, are you more connecting on a personal level? Then yes, maybe money and physical appearance is very important. If you're looking for your soulmate, then everything can fall away. Nothing really matters because they just match your energy field perfectly.
I like that you said the energy field thing. So would it be okay for us to go past the physical and okay, for just 1 second? We'll come back.
I really like you, you know. I really like watching you when you go into this subject. Yeah. Your energy is moving.
Yeah. Thank you for noticing. I like that. Okay. So for me, I tend to attract women who are in trouble. Okay. Or I should say, how do I say this? I tend to be attracted to women who are in trouble. Yeah. Now, because I do this as a living, this couples therapy thing, we look at our childhood stuff. And I grew up with my mom, you know, being physically abused. And I became, quote unquote, her rescuer.
Yeah.
So I could spot in a situation, it doesn't matter where it is. It could be, I actually picked a girlfriend from a yearbook because I saw her face and she looked sad. And everybody else is talking about, oh, she's really cute, blah, blah, blah. I didn't even see, you know, features. I just saw sad. So I who's this girl? And my siblings said, oh, that's so-and-so. I said, okay. Does she have a boyfriend? Next thing I know, we're meeting and we're together. I didn't know her background until after we started dating. Then I found out, oh, there was a lot of trauma. So I was right.
Yeah.
What do you call that? What would you call that?
I would call you a rescuer. And that you try to fix people.
Right. So how is it that I could pick up on those people who are in need of support? Because I don't want to be called a rescuer. That's such a negative. I mean, give you a break.
Well, now I would say that you would really have to look into this pattern. Then
I have, believe me.
Sorry, just kidding. No, but I would say then that your energy field and her energy field match in a certain way where you can provide something that she's lacking, or the other way around. So as long as we didn't go to the transformational process, we keep picking people who are filling in the gaps.
Right. So here's the flip side of that. Okay, so when you're finding this person, or you're looking for this person, or attracting this person energetically, you're also attracting another part. So yes, they need support. However, in my case, my mother was also emotionally and verbally abusive. So this girlfriend was emotionally abusive, and it was something that I knew, and it was normal.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, hold on for a second.
Yeah.
This isn't what I want, and yet this is where I believe I need to be. Or
yeah,
self-esteem didn't exist, so you just accept it.
Yeah, and you repeat the patterns you know already. Yeah. Yeah.
Harville Hendrix and his wife wrote a book called Getting the Love You Want, and they describe that as the imago. We can go into that a little bit more later. And it's filling in those gaps of the abuse that you suffered or you experienced as a child.
Yeah.
Not even knowing that it's going to happen. When it happens, it's just, oh, okay.
Yeah. And it also brings you the possibility to heal. Because you, at a certain point, you start to recognize the pattern and you start seeing that you're doing it again and you really want to change that.
Right. Yes, that's true. So, this brings me to the next relationship. So once I started establishing that understanding and that awareness of, oh, I don't want to be in this relationship. No, this is horrible. I should be treated better than this, should is a demand. I want to be treated better than this. And someone else who has an opposite energy comes along. Is that person, the first person, was a little shy and not as outgoing, reserved, had a hard time even ordering at a restaurant. Wouldn't look people in the eye. So she would ask me to order and I would. And that became our relationship. Then later, I'm in a relationship with someone who is very outgoing, spoke up all the time about everything, had an opinion about everything. And I thought, wow, that's so cool. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to provide anything. She has her own strong sense of self. Not so fast. It was all a mask. It was all a facade. And when I was on the receiving end of the abuse, it's like, wait, hold on. What did I know? This isn't okay. But that's what I knew. So I stayed stuck in that relationship too because I was expecting that type of abuse. So talk to me about that. What do you know about that?
You have interesting questions today.
Oh. I had a busy weekend.
Yes, talk to me about that. Yeah, so it comes in all these different forms. We start to attract certain people because of something in ourselves that needs healing. Mm-hmm. And it has all these different forms. And sometimes it looks like your mother, sometimes it looks like your father, sometimes it looks like your sister, you know. And it starts coming, it keeps coming back until you... I guess until you start to define what it is you really want and what really matches your longing and your kind of, you know, your field or your energy, what's compatible with that, or, you know, nurturing. What is nurturing to your soul and your heart? And your body also. Yeah, and then it's not about a certain, physical appearance, I guess.
It's not about a certain physical appearance or sound or a fragrance, because, we're attracted to a lot of different things. Smell is a huge sense.
Yeah. So I think at a certain point you really start to, go into feel what is, who am I and what kind of relationship do I want? And for me, it was like that in my relationship before, at a certain point, where you come is that the sexuality disappeared. We became parents, and then we were parents, and we were not lovers anymore. So, in a next relationship, I really want to be lovers. I want this sexuality to be there. So, someone has to be appealing or attractive, but he doesn't have to be beautiful or match a certain or tick the boxes or anything, but but then the beauty, is in the eye of the beholder. And I will see it if I feel it. If I can feel it, it's there. Yeah. So that's what I would say, that sexuality is very important because it really fuels your field. And it really fuels your creativity and your energy levels, and you start creating, and you can do things that you're not able to do when you're on your own, or maybe. But sexuality alone is not enough because it's not a physical, for me, it's not only a physical thing. It has to be connected to energy and the heart. And consciousness, I'm not sure. I
This is a lot to pick up on the first date, though. So everyone wants to put forward their best, best foot forward, show
And I
themselves
think
in this
we need,
situation.
yeah, we think we, I need more time to discover. And in this era of, the dating apps, we don't get any time, and we don't give others any time to really relax and to relax your energy field and to really connect, and that you start to fall into a connection that it's not established in the first minute. You start to establish the connection in a, you need really need time for that. And of course, we have this, that you fall in love by the first sight, but it's very rare. It's very rare. It can happen, but still it's very rare. And so I think we could use a little bit more time.
How much time? I mean, certain people are out there have been waiting for, I don't know, 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
They want
But time
matching, right?
with, yeah, but time with someone else to discover if someone's right or someone's, how do you know if you reject him right away, if he's a great kisser? And when he's a great kisser, then, he might up and open up in totally different ways than you would have before, if you're just looking at appearance. But I'm not kissing someone on the first date because I think that's way too fast.
Okay, so what would be, I agree with you, that it can be too fast. Okay.
Most of the times, not always, but
Right.
most of the
What would
times.
be the optimal date then?
For me, it's that I can feel someone's energy. So if there's an energetic connection, and we're not only talking, you know, I think you can talk for hours, and then you know everything about each other, and you haven't even felt the other one. So for me, it's all about felt sense.
Okay. Talk for hours. Oh gosh, that's a lot to say in hours and hours. So
yeah,
would that be at a cafe where you can just sit and communicate for, I don't know, 30 minutes, and then the look on your face. I wish everybody could see the look on your face.
Yeah, but I think there's not a recipe, you know, for the perfect date.
Oh, but the matchmakers say there is. Have you not seen the movie Hitch?
No, I have not.
With Will Smith?
No.
Oh, gotta watch it. For all of you listening, watch Hitch.
Hitch, okay.
Hitch.
Hitch.
I'll just give you a little bit of background. He is a relationship expert.
Oh,
he
nice.
He helps people to meet. Specifically, I think it's men he works with the most. Okay. Men who get in their own way. They have something that's wrong with them, or they believe is wrong with them.
Yeah.
And he helps them to develop confidence to go after what they want.
I think during dates, we're mostly in our masks. So we try to, you know, let people see who we are really not. We try to, you know, what a great job we have, what a great people we are, how great friends we have, what a great daughter I have, you know, and how beautiful we are. It doesn't say anything. It's mask.
I love it. Finally. Now we're getting it.
So people need to relax. You know, that's the best first day. If you can relax, have a real connection. Mm-hmm. Let people in, you know, be personal. Be really personal without, you know, throwing out everything, you know, about your ex and all the all the bad things he did to you. But, you know, I think getting a personal connection, be very personal, that really helps me. As soon as people start being vulnerable and personal and say things that maybe they wish they hadn't, but, you know, be very relaxed about it. Mm-hmm. That's nice. I really fall for that. Okay. But that's me, you know. I go for real. I mean, not the real relationship, but real people.
Right. Real people. So you're not a fixer. You're not a rescuer. You're not a... What other categories are there?
A victim.
A victim.
And... you know, you have the three, the fixer and the victim and the perpetrator.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm neither one of them.
Okay.
I'm just being me, and I try to keep away from all the others.
Well, let's say that the person that you're on a date with is going to fall into one of those categories. Now, you've done enough work on yourself to not fall in or be labeled by anything. But you could be a blend, or that person can be a blend. What is the time frame that you would say is needed to get to know someone, to know what they are?
I don't know. I think it depends on how patient you are. I think there are so many levels and layers that people exist of, and we do not do right to most people.
Mm-hmm.
So we reject them too soon. Mm-hmm. And we don't give people any time to relax, be themselves, show themselves, and, you know, So I do not have a lot of expectations, I guess, on one side. And on the other hand, if people go too quickly, have demands, expectations from me, and that's a no-go.
Demands and expectations from you.
Yeah, I like it when people really see me. You know, and I've dated, you know, not like many people, but I've seen like maybe 10 to 15 men in the last few years, and we went on a date or we went for a drink. And the kind of guy that seems to be attracted to me are the coaching kind of types. So they start analyzing me. If there's something that I really hate is when people analyze me and start giving me advice, or they know better how I feel than that I know how I feel. So as soon as that starts to happen, I just first ask them kindly if they just can talk about themselves and not try to, you know, put me somewhere in a box where they think they, you know, see through me because I have so many layers that they can. And if they keep going on, then yeah, it's enough. I mean, I cannot deal with that. So
So,
for me, there are four categories behind the
okay.
victim and all the others. There's the coach.
Okay. So I was going to ask you, that was the question I was going to ask you. So you wouldn't classify them as a fixer, they would be a coach.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, gotta write a
Yeah.
book about this. Okay, the
Yeah.
coach, the fixer, the perpetrator, and the victim. And there's the rescuer. So there's maybe five.
Yeah, and also, yeah, and the people that are really scared of me. I'm being, you know, real and loving. So.
Tell me about those guys.
Don't know. I don't know. Because, you know, as at a certain point, then you start seeing things, and that's okay, you know. Everybody is. I do not think I am perfect, so everybody's imperfect, and I'm okay with your imperfection, but are you okay with mine?
Okay, got it.
So, and people are not really comfortable with their own imperfections, so they are afraid of my, you know, seeing through it. Actually, I'm quite okay with it.
So you're also direct, yes?
Yes, I'm way too direct. Yes, that's the problem. I know that. Yeah.
I don't know if it's a problem. I'm asking.
No, I see that it's a problem for guys.
Okay.
I see that that's, I think when I look at my own, you know, why I might be still alone. That my directness is a part of that. Yeah. And I haven't figured out how to, you know, what's the key to this? How can I be direct and without being too scary, maybe?
Too scary. So directness is scary to a lot of people.
I think for men it's scary, but I'm not sure. So I really like your feedback or anybody else's feedback because, you know, I try to fix this.
That's, you know, each culture is a little bit different. And I think directness is great. It's not painful. Okay, when it's I guess an underhanded attack, then yeah, that's painful.
No, it's not
Directness.
like this. It's more like I can be direct and be funny about it also. But you know, I know a Dutch friend who, works in the States. And it's hard also. But she's also very respected for her directness because it's not really heard of in her industry, which is also marketing and, you know, selling stories. And she's very direct. Yeah. But it's not easy to be like that, especially not in the States.
Yeah, States tends to be a little more masky.
Yeah.
Masky over yourself.
Yeah, and in the Netherlands, I'm not sure. I mean, direct is what we are known for. And at the same time, when you are as direct as I am, as a woman, mm-hmm. I'm not really sure if it's appreciated by men. On a larger scale. I mean, of course, there are men who really like that and, you know, are the same kind of type maybe, but still being direct and being honest, that can be two different things. And I think I'm more honest.
Okay.
Because with the Dutch directness, there can also be like a harshness in it.
Right.
Yeah. And I've been that. I've done that. Not anymore.
Okay. Okay. That's good to know. So in the beginning of the relationship with you, you're very direct versus masky and giggling at everything that...
Yeah.
Like stereotypical Hollywood portrayal of women.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like that.
No.
So strong women are considered what in the Netherlands? Well, how do you?
You know, I think there's a difference between strong and being perceived as being strong. You know, I think the Dutch women are perceived as being strong. And that we have, you know, like being quite equal to men.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I've seen women who start to really ground into their wombs and into their real strength, where it's not a mask or not a defense or not a way of, you know, coping with the world, but starting to ground into your own strength. Your place of power, which I guess is the womb, or which I think is the womb. And that's different. It's a different strength because it's also really soft. It can be really fierce, but it can also be really soft and authentic and real and present, being there and just respond to the situation without reacting to it. It's different.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I like the fact that you're giving me some insight into women in the Netherlands for the most part, because, you know, we have so many beliefs. There's so many stereotypes about this culture, this race. This is the way it's supposed to be. French women are like this, French men are like that, Latin men. I mean, it boggles the mind. And who comes up with this shit, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of beliefs about Black men are overly sexualized, predators, and that creates a lot of biases and fear.
Mm.
Whereas other men may be seen as something else. Oh, they're good listeners. They're so gentle. Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
they don't care. They're so into themselves. Okay. How do you categorize a whole group of people?
Yeah. And we categorize it differently also. I don't think we would say that Black men are predators.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we would say that they are good dancers, and that they are better in bed.
See, the good dancer thing is also a stereotype.
Yes, it is.
Although I have been known to be.
But if you compare it to Dutch guys, I mean, it's not even a stereotype, maybe.
Right.
You know, so it's sometimes it's really difficult to, you know, say something about, you shouldn't say things about groups of people, but.
I agree. And that's one of the things that I really want to get out there is that each individual is unique. And yes, they may check off some of the boxes, you know. Maybe not. You have to be open-minded, but if you can't get past your own belief or your bias about someone, or if someone totally blows your mind, you know, don't judge them. Start to look at what's going on for you as the individual.
Yeah.
And if somebody doesn't like the fact that you're direct, that's on them.
Yeah, I know. But if the majority of people think that, it's really hard to get into a relationship. I cannot change that. Yeah, I cannot change that. So the choice is no. I really do believe that if you vibrate your frequency, that you'll match it someday.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
So my clarity and directness will be met by someone. Yeah.
So it's, I don't know if the bar scene is the place to meet a person who can receive your directness or anyone's directness for that matter.
No.
Like you said, it's the mask that's presented rather than the actual person.
Yeah.
So if a person was approaching you or had approached you and you could tell they were in their mask, what would be a direct thing that you might say to let them know that they're at their mask?
I'm not sure if I would say it like that. But after the date, definitely I would give them a message or send them a message and say, I didn't like it, or we're not a match. So...
Oh, okay. Got that. So why aren't we a match? We're not a match? What do you mean? I spent, I don't know. I bought you a dinner. I bought you wine. And what do you mean? I thought we had a good time. I told you stories about all of my conquests.
Now, the last time I did this was when a guy was, you know, I was invited at his home. So he cooked dinner for me, which was very nice. He was an Italian, so I really appreciate it. And he made an effort. And after dinner, I thought, well, maybe I was really looking for what is the best way to see if there's a connection. So I thought, well, maybe this time I try just, you know, go to bed and connect in a physical way. Maybe then it starts to move the energy. But he tried to really, you know, he went so quickly that his hands were between my legs even before I knew it, before I gave any permission, before he had asked or anything. So I tried to tell him on three different moments to not do that because it really felt uncomfortable. And by the third time, I said, well, I think I just leave now. So at home, I send him a message saying that I really tried to slow you down. You didn't listen. So I guess this is it. Mm. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And it was, you know, it's also quite kind of scary then because you don't know the guy yet. But because I'm, you know, strong and direct, I'm not get into any, you know, a very difficult situation. But I can imagine when you're, you know, less secure, this what would be the moment where you feel overpowered, because on one moment he was lying on top of me and I thought, this goes, I don't feel safe anymore. I don't feel safe anymore. So I really tried to get away underneath, from underneath him, and then started to, you know, get my things and go. Yeah, because it didn't feel safe anymore. But you have to be there. You have to be specific.
Yes.
And say, no, this is what I want. I'm leaving.
Good for you.
Yeah, and it felt scary, you know, because he was bigger than me and stronger, obviously. And nothing happened, but I can imagine that things might go out of hand if someone is, you know, a little bit more fired up and you're less clear.
Right. Yeah. I'm glad that you said that about the clarity and specifics. That's important.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm really sorry that you had that experience.
It was good for me, you know, it's also an empowering act. So it didn't feel for me, I didn't feel like a victim afterwards. It felt really empowering. Like, I'm taking it back now. You're not a match. I'm leaving. Bye.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see you again. So that didn't feel, you know, it didn't make me feel less. It made me feel stronger. Yeah.
That's what I was going to follow up and ask you. So you felt more empowered. That yeah. You have able to have that boundary.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So then still my question, what do men really want?
See, and that's
because you're a therapist. You're a therapist, so you know, you see men and what they want.
And ultimately, I'm not talking about the overload of testosterone. Okay. What I often hear is that men believe that they have to be a certain way, that women may judge them if they're not making the first move. And that's a huge thing is, oh, they're waiting for me to make the first move. And they're also being judged by, well, ultimately they think women are judging them all the time.
Okay.
And yeah. You know, for those people who are attracted to women, they think that this is the case.
Yeah.
Women are judging them if they don't do this right, if they're not performing in this way. They look at, I guess, television and the movies to see who is the most popular person. And they want to be like that person. They want to smell like that person. Even though they're most of the women have never smelled, for example, Brad Pitt. They don't know what Brad Pitt smells like. But Brad Pitt may sell a cologne. And so that's what those men think they have to smell like. Or they have to grow their facial hair a certain way. Or have facial hair. And if they don't have facial hair, then they're being judged by society, specifically women. And so there's all these beliefs that men hold, that they have to please, they have to be macho, they have to take charge, they have to blah, 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 blah. And they don't know. These aggressive people, I can't speak to them. I don't know what is in their minds other than they need therapy. Mm. They need to be with a group of men who are going to put them in their place, call them on their nonsense. And I have recommendations for those places and those people.
They're not listening. but still.
Yeah, there's all of these beliefs, especially from a young age, that boys need to play rough. Boys can't be sensitive. Boys can't cry. Boys, blah, 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 blah. Nonsense.
Yeah, but still, that's also a reason. Well, what I've seen that guys don't want to get into a relationship because of all my expectations, and I do not really have those expectations, or not really high ones. It's, I mean, you have to treat me well. You have to look like a normal person, maybe.
Right.
Not trying to kill me or and be loving and kind, but
Yes, please don't kill. Don't do that.
that's what I mean by a normal person, because I do not have very big expectations, and still men are afraid of my expectations. So then my question is, what do they really want? Because my expectations are not so high.
They don't know that.
No.
And I can imagine that women don't know what the expectations are either. You know, do they see, this is where we struggle, because a lot of women believe that if they don't have sex with the guy on the first date, the guy's not going to call them back.
Yeah.
And it's
Better not
actually
have sex on the first date. Then they will call you back.
exactly. How a Man Thinks is a really good book that I would recommend. It dives into the male brain. So I'm considered a bridge brain, and a bridge brain is someone, and you're probably considered a bridge brain also, sensitive and masculine at the same time. So you have both, and you can meet someone in the middle. You're not overly feminine, quote unquote, whatever the hell that means, or masculine, whatever that means. And you're able to receive somebody. You can be present, you can create space, hold space, and listen, which is a huge piece. Okay. So the bridge brain is someone who a lot of women really like. And then they also feel like, wait, they're not really a protector. They didn't take charge. So there's that split. So I think that in society, each person, we need to figure out what it is that we want. Do we still want to adhere to the old ways of being, of safety and control? So with that safety, does that mean you relinquish your control because the masculine person says, follow me, or vice versa? So the damsel in distress needs support. So the man immediately goes and has to take charge and throw the woman down on the bed and be an aggressive lover. I mean,
That can be nice.
I don't disagree with you. I think that that, oh.
Soon as I feel safe, I really like one, but not on the first date,
Not on the first date.
probably. No.
No, not on the first. And for me,
For
it's a
me.
build-up. Hell, I think every guy is nervous on the first date, even if they don't admit it, except for, you know, the
And that's good to
hardcore
know. Yeah, that's good to know.
sociopaths.
Yeah. That's good to know. And also what I did when I went on dates, it's also, I just embraced my insecurity and my, not knowing what to say. And I thought, yeah, you're cool, but you don't know. You're
Right.
just very insecure.
Right.
Yeah.
So I know we're going to end in a minute. I just wanted to ask, how important is touch in the first couple of dates? So do you reach out, is what I'm asking. So if you were on a date with someone, you like that person, how would you indicate to them that you like them non-verbally?
The guys that I've been really connected to on an energetic level, they know that they are invited to step forward and touch me.
How do they know?
because I'm open and they feel.
You're making it hard for my brothers.
I know. Do you feel your heart? Do you feel connected? I would say that. Do you feel your heart? Do you feel connected? Mm-hmm. And yes, if you do, probably the other one does too. If you're trying to make a show and put on your best mask, then probably don't touch.
Okay. So I like boundaries. You know, that's what I do. But, you know, I also teach personal safety. So what would it be like to say, hey, I am attracted to you. So I'm wondering if you were thinking about reaching out, that would be okay.
Yeah, that would be very nice. But I noticed that I myself find that really difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think somewhere. Yeah, this is one of my biases, I guess. I do really think that the guy needs to do that. Yeah.
Got to the bias. Yes.
Yes. And I've done it myself, mm-hmm. You know, that I reach out and I do find it less attractive. That I have to do it myself.
Okay.
So that's not probably not really helpful to end with.
No. We're gonna have to follow up on this.
Sorry.
But that's good. That's good information, though. There is a judgment.
Yeah, there's a judgment, and it also feels very empowering when I do it myself. You know, when I do the things that I'm really scared of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So it's been a long time for me. So I wouldn't even know what to say. However, and I also know that that's not something that, you know, I'm just I like you, am direct.
Yeah.
And because that's in the back of my mind, boundaries constantly.
Yeah.
I would ask.
Yeah.
Hey, I've had women say, you know, I think we're feeling each other. No, we're not. I don't know what's on your mind. I'm not feeling you at all.
Mm.
Okay. Feeling, for those people who don't know that expression, we like each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's part of the problem is that you're projecting that we're where we're not.
Yeah. So I'm very direct, but I'm not very direct when it comes to my physical needs and wants. Yeah, that I find it really hard to discuss. So I really like it when somebody else takes the lead there. So that's not a judgment, but that's really what I like.
Okay. All right.
For someone else to take the lead there, but, you know, he doesn't have to, but yeah.
See, that's where I think it's great that you know that about yourself. Okay, it's not based on any beliefs that I know of. It's what you feel comfortable with.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And I think that's ultimately what we need is that healthy communication.
Yeah, so it's really nice if someone, you know, I'm really open. And I'm really open when it comes to giving words to something. And I like it when the other one is very open when it comes to, you know, inviting me in a physical way.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
When there's a connection, when we can feel the connection.
When there's a connection. And that's the mind reading part. For all of you listeners, you have to become mind readers because if you're not, then you'll just sit there looking at each other and waiting for each other to make the first move.
Yeah. So the last time this happened to me, I really said it was so uncomfortable. At a certain moment, we had talked for hours and hours. I said, what do you want from me?
You said it?
So that's really, you know, really awkward. But I just didn't know another way of saying it. So I just put it out there. You know, that's what I mean by I'm direct.
Uh-huh.
Just put it out there, even if it's awkward and not really, you know, appropriate. I just, at a certain point, I cannot really handle it anymore. The
like
uncomfortableness. Yes. What do you want from me?
How did he respond?
No, nothing. But, you know, we got to have another chance, and, you know, so we're trying it out.
Good.
Yeah.
So for relationship advice,
go to Haruna. Because I'm struggling myself.
Reach out sensei570@gmail.com.
Yeah. So, and it's always easier to read someone else's energy than your own. So people can still come to me because, you know, I can see very clearly in somebody else's energy field.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's right. You do readings for people. So,
yeah.
So contact Hermelaine.
Yes.
for some readings, and she could probably tell you.
Yeah, what's going on there? And then when I see it in someone else's field, I can really apply it also to my own life. So, you know,
nice.
Yeah. So it's it really gives me lessons. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, it's always a pleasure.
Yes, same here.
All right, till next week.
Yeah, see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, see you later.